Let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 5 today, chapter 5 of Proverbs. Now, we have been understanding and realizing as we've been going through Proverbs that this is written to Solomon's son, Solomon writing to his son, teaching him the ways of wisdom. And of course, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. In different areas of life. And it's so good to touch our own lives with these areas that are addressed, with the father expressing his love to his son to give him the truth about these areas of life. And of course, we know that this is intended, being in the scriptures, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, for our Father God, who wants to speak to us on how to live and how to do it right and to see the abundant living that he wants to bring in our lives as Jesus promised. And so we now approach the subject of sexual things. And of course, the Bible doesn't get too graphic, so don't be concerned about that. But with some real great instruction for a son. And I'm so happy for the book of Proverbs in my own life. When I was in ninth grade, there was a missionary that was sent from Korea to the United States, Dr. Chow. And he came to the beach where I was with a little surf club called the 10th Street Towhangers, of all things. And we used to sit, lay in a circle in the sand, you know, after we'd be surfing. And he came up to our circle and just started sharing the gospel all the way from South Korea. And he got very close to me. My heart was for God, and we got to be good friends. And so through the course of time, I asked him, I said, where should I start reading in the Bible? And, you know, of course, we say the Gospel of John because that's all about Jesus, and that's what we share with people. But he actually said to me Proverbs and Psalms. And so I began to read Proverbs as a young teenager, and I am so glad that he directed me there. There's so much, many rich things, and these very scriptures kept me from large trouble as a teenage boy. In the area of the sexual things. And, you know, and I guess, you know, we all go through our different failures and so forth. But it was so great to have the Word of God to refresh me, to strengthen me, and to speak to me about these things. And so this is Solomon speaking to his son. My son, chapter 5, verse 1, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold on hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. And the cruel one would be Satan. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Now this one really jumps out at me, verse 10, because of a testimony that I heard from Pastor Chuck. That this one about lest aliens be filled with your wealth if you go astray, letting the eyes go away to another than your wife. This lady called Pastor Chuck because she knew that he was very good friends with her husband, and she knew him very well, a couple in his church. And she said, Pastor Chuck, my husband's left me for another woman, and I'm wondering if you could go talk to him. Talk some sense into him. And so Chuck found out where he was and went there. And when he was invited into the house where the man was with the other woman, there was such a contrast between his life with his wife and kids in a beautiful house that they'd worked for and sweat for and walked shoulder and shoulder together to bring about and so forth, and their wealth, actually, together with this drab dwelling and this kind of shabby type place that he was in now. And Pastor Chuck just couldn't even say anything. He just began to weep. And he cried and he cried, and every time he tried to say something, he would just cry harder. And it turned out that he never did say anything. He was so grieved and so full of sorrow, and just contrasting the spiritual beauty of the life he had and the life he's gone to, and the physical along those ways. And so Pastor Chuck just had to leave, just in tears. And praise God, the end of the story is good, so it's pretty much why I chose this one. Hallelujah. The man, just through the emotion of his pastor, just through the tears and the crying and the sorrow, repented and went back to his wife, and their marriage was restored. So praise God for that. But this scripture jumps out, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, losing all that you have built through the years. So something to be warned with, and would of course warn Solomon's son. Now, and then it says in verse 11, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Of course, that would apply to all the diseases that come. In Atlanta, Georgia is the disease center for sexually transmitted diseases. And they said years ago, this is an epidemic. It's just out of control. And I know that you know much about that. And now that we have AIDS, people are dropping like flies. There was this one guy, homosexual man, in Laguna Beach. Chuck Jr.'s church was real close to Laguna Beach. And this man came to service one day, and he just said, you know, can I find Jesus through you? He said, all my friends are dead. And he was only 30 years old, but all of his friends were dead from AIDS. And so, this was written 1,000 years before Jesus was born, when your flesh and your body are consumed from this kind of behavior. It's a road that leads to death. And you say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation, really letting us know that this kind of thing can happen to Christians as well as non-Christians. God is no respecter of persons. And so then in verse 15 to verse 19 is where the Lord gives solution, and the Lord lets us know how he feels about these things. And so to this dear son of Solomon, and really speaking to Solomon and warning Solomon, because as you know, Solomon actually fell to this kind of thing, even after being so wise to teach about it. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. A concubine is almost a wife. But he really displayed that fact that as hell is never full, neither are the eyes of man ever satisfied. So brothers, we have to remember that. And sisters, of course, too, but I don't know if you need this as much as men do, but I'm not a girl. But the thing is this, is that, you have to draw the line early, because there's a lie out there that, you know, this next girl or next guy is better than the one that I'm with, and then I'm going to be fulfilled, then I'll live happily ever after, and it turns into a nightmare. And it doesn't work. And so then you find out later, you know, and have to go through that terrible pain and the hurt that you bring and the hurt that you give. And it is a very, very serious, serious thing. And so the Lord wants to really warn here and bring about the truth. How I've hated instruction, my heart has despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those that instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin. And so now we get this wonderful thing that God wants to do. Starting in verse 15, it says, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. And then a question is asked, should your fountains be dispersed abroad? streams of water in the streets. In other words, just appreciate your wonderful household. Appreciate your children, your wife, your husband, and thank God for them. And don't let things be spread about in the streets and be looking out there for someone else. Grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. But as it was said in what episode of Little House on the Prairie, for a woman was trying to seduce Charles in that episode, and she said, "Oh, you've got strong hands." And he says, "Yeah, they're used for shoveling manure." The grass is greener on the other side of the fence because there's lots of manure on it. And so I thought, man, what a great episode that was. And so we see here then that the Lord wants us to think about our own family, our own wife. It says in verse 18, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth, as a loving deer and a graceful doe." Isn't that precious? That is such a beautiful picture. As a loving deer and a graceful doe. "Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love." Now, I did a word study on enraptured here. This is the New King James translation. I'm using that today because we're reading so much scripture. Wanted to have a modern translation. Enraptured can be translated also ravished, and that's how it is in the King James. Be ravished always with her love. It can also be translated exhilarated. Be exhilarated always with her love. And another word in the word study in the Greek, it can also mean intoxicated. Be intoxicated with her love. You know, and a very practical way to work on that, as you give into the relationship, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You can build that kind of feeling and just excitement about your own relationship with your wife or husband. Meaning that, you know, as a man, you find out what your wife loves, what she doesn't like, and you work on that, and you make diligent search. And at times when you're moved to get her a gift, you work on that gift. You think about it. How can I surprise her? What can I do to lift her up? And this really is kind of a work thing that you can do, an effort on your part to produce what God really gives us in the Word. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And this produces a beautiful church, and you can produce a beautiful wife by just going ahead and, as the Word says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then it goes on to say, with the washing, that Jesus Christ loves the church by the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And so the husband following Christ, you see, washing his wife in the water of the word, treating her kindly and in a loving way, can actually build up his wife and even make her more beautiful. There was this couple that went to a counseling appointment, and this is a true story, and they went into the counseling appointment, and the man said, "When I married her, she was a beautiful, lovely woman, but now she's a wicked witch." And the pastor just looked at him and said, "You're just telling me what you did to her." Oh, man. Bam. Touché. And so this was a good thing to say, because you know what? Women are responders. Husband's the Christ figure in the family. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so it's the husband's duty to love her unconditionally and to do all he can to build her up and protect her. And you know what? Women melt under that kind of treatment. They don't melt under, "Give me the controller, I'm tired, where's my dinner?" That doesn't work real well. But it's the love and the grace that pours out of a man towards his wife that just melts her. And she responds to that, and she becomes more beautiful, and you helped because you were into the wisdom of the Bible, and you were seeking to ravish your love always upon her, to be enraptured with her, to be exhilarated by her and intoxicated with her. And you know, as you look at women and children, you know, they're women and children. They're women and children. And every woman and man is kind of built generally in the same way. So why not be satisfied with what you have? As hell is never full, neither are the eyes of man ever satisfied. I believe that I quoted that a little earlier. And it's just a road. It's a bad road. It's a nightmare road. And God doesn't want you to go down that road. And so here is his idea and his blessing to be upon you and your life and the life of your wife and husband and the family unit. It's precious. It's wonderful. For why should you, my son, verse 20, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man. Now this is very telling. Here, this verse. The iniquity of entrapment. When a man gets into some kind of sex worship thing, then what happens is they become a slave to it. They're entrapped by it. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. And of course, they've discovered this now. And they even talk about sexual addiction now. And people go to meet like people that are addicted to drugs or booze. Same kinds of meetings for sexual addiction. And it's a road. It starts with a road because the eyes of man are never satisfied. And so we need to live disciplined discipleship lives and really learn to enjoy what God has granted. And God picks the best for you. He really, really does. He's interested in blessing your life and just not believing the lies of the enemy that are out there. And so this thing of not being entrapped as the wicked man becomes entrapped. Now, they have discovered that pornography is addicting. And those of you that have struggled with it or are having even now trouble on the internet, it is addicting. And you find yourself wanting to go back to that and back to it. And then your poor little woman finds out. And what it says to her is, I would rather look at pictures than to look at you. And that is awfully painful. Rejection, despised and rejected. Terrible. And you don't want to do that to your wife or husband. But let them know, I love you. And you are my beauty. You're my handsome big man, you know. Those kinds of things, those are so edifying. I like that. It's every time Sherry needs me to open a bottle. I always think what Pastor Chuck said about that. As Kay would say to him, you're so strong. And so I told Sherry about that, and so now she does it for me when I get the bottle. You're so strong. And that feels so good. But you see what I'm saying, and this is a serious subject, and we don't want to go astray. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. That wicked man that has allowed himself to become addicted some of these terrible things. Pastor Chuck said at one of the pastor's conferences that pornography on the internet is the greatest threat to the Church of Jesus Christ today because of his experience of having wives that are broken calling him on the phone and saying, my husband just cannot stop this. And I want to say to you men, you do what you got to do. If you can't stay away from that junk, then you should unplug the computer, go to the window and throw it out. How about that? Just make sure there's a nice big trash can at the bottom. But you can make it easier on yourself by just giving your wife the password and she knows what it is and you never let her tell you what it is and just steer clear. If you've got a letter to write or something to do on the internet, you do it with her. Or as Bob Coy does, the pastor on the radio, Bob Coy from Florida, his assistant pastor has Bob Coy's internet password. And so Bob works on the internet with his assistant pastor looking over his shoulder. And that could be even worse, maybe. I don't know. Keep you in line, for sure. Or better, I mean, not worse, better. But, you know, the thing is, you got to do what you got to do. If you can't kick this thing, if you can't hang it up, you've got to get desperate with it. You need to get violent with it. You need to get committed to it. And you need to obey the Word of God. and not go the way of destruction, led down Primrose Lane by the evil one, the enemy of your soul, and cause all kinds of havoc and pain. And also then, of course, with the movies, I always want to mention the movies, and I want to give you a good movie to go see, okay, in a minute. You've got to steer clear of the erotic movies if you have a problem in this area. Now, some people are better than others as far as this subject goes, but I think most men have this problem. And if you go to a lot of movies that there's erotic things and so forth in them, that brings about something called, in the King James Translation Bible, lasciviousness, which is an overcharged feeling and more of a need and drive for the sexual things. And so then you're more likely to get way in trouble if you're watching too many of these movies, or any at all. For me, I just can't do it, and I'm glad. And I actually called the cable company and told them to come out and take a channel out of my system. Somehow, by mistake on their part, they gave me one of the girly channels. And so I called them right away when I found that, and they came out and took it out. And you just have to be ruthless with this kind of thing. It can lead to addiction and iniquities, and trapping iniquities in your life. It's a very, very terrible. Well, let's go on now to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 20. What I'm doing today is reading all that Solomon had to say on these things. He said more about this subject than any other subject in the book of Proverbs. This is an important subject. And so in verse 20 of chapter 6, it says, "My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids." Now, this verse that says, "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart," that's where Samson got in trouble. You all know the story of Samson and Goliath. The Bible says, right before they cut off his hair, and he lost his strength because he was doing a Nazarite vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord, and part of that was keeping your hair long. And so when his hair was cut off by Delilah's friends, that took away his strength. But right before that happened, the Bible says that he told her all of his heart. The heart is so important. If a man lusts after a woman in his heart, he's already committed adultery with her. So we have to watch our heart. We have to draw the line early and run from these things. Did I tell you yet that Sherry read an article last week that in the article it says that the United States of America is the most seductive culture ever on the planet. The most seductive culture on the planet ever. And you ask the question, what about Rome? What about Greece? They didn't have media. They didn't have movies on the giant screen displaying these things. And they didn't have the internet, which has really become probably a pandemic among men. I do enough counseling to know about this. And of course, Chuck just pleading with the pastors. And it's just pandemic. So there's got to be some guys that are doing this right here in the room now. Now, don't start looking around. But it's got to stop, guys. STOP in the name of the Lord. Jesus is coming, and your wife needs you to love her. And so there it is. Now, let's go back here to verse chapter 6, and we're still reading. So we just read about the heart. Okay, now it says, "Don't let her allure you with her eyelids, for by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread." Whoa. Boy, that one as a teenager, always just, I went, whoa, a crust of bread. That's like the stuff you take off your grandson's peanut butter and jelly sandwich, the crust. And you throw it away. Well, I eat them actually, because I like peanut butter, but the grandkids just like the middle part. But you know, you can, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, is one translation of that, by means of a harlot. An adulteress will prey upon his precious life. This is something to watch for closely. You belong to Jesus. And as you seek him more and more and deeper, your life becomes more and more precious. You're precious to the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so the adulterous woman will look for folks that are precious, have a precious life, a life to bring down. It's almost like it's more attractive to them because they're conquering. There's a conquering feeling there of some kind. And so as you walk close with the Lord, when you come back from the men's conference, when you come back from a men's retreat, men, or ladies, you have a spiritual high, watch out for the wiles and the tricks of Satan, because he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he might destroy. And so we have to bring guards and sentinels to our marriage and to our single life to keep ourselves pure before the Lord. And to not be, Samson was single. His wife had been burned, and he's single. And that's when he got in trouble with Delilah. And so the single guys, the single girls, and the married, of course. And so watching out for these things that will destroy lives. And so we read on, let's see, it says this, can a man, verse 27, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. Again, expensive. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whosoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's rage, it says in the King James, fury in New King James. Jealousy is a husband's fury. You really want to make somebody mad? Start messing with his woman. Jealousy is a husband's fury or rage. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. You can never, get through that. So, except with Jesus, and that's a miracle. But I wanted to talk about this word jealousy for a second, because jealousy is the rage of man, the fury of man. And sometimes men go overboard with this, or women. Where you been? I called you at work, but you weren't there. And they start making the other person in the marriage nervous because they're so untrusting, and really we should trust God and not man. But the thing is this, is that jealousy is a natural, furious, raging response that God has put in men. It's in there. Jealousy is a husband's fury or rage, and we must understand this. And so you have to balance that whole question. I've got a lot of couples in my office talking about this question. Is he being too jealous? Or is he too laid back? Or, you know, what's the deal here? Well, the thing is, you need to pray. And you need to ask God. Because the Lord says here, this is something that's put in to a man's heart and put into a woman's heart. It's a really, really, really hard not to display jealousy. And because of this, we have to understand that there have to be safeguards in the marriage. And it's okay to set those safeguards and not feel like you're not trusting them. No, it's just safe. Let's be realistic about this thing. We want to be safe. And so Sherry and I have made many agreements and things. There's a pastor named Pastor London that works with Dr. Dobson, and he sent pastors that are on the mailing list of Dr. Dobson, and I was one of them, how to safeguard your marriage, things to think about. And one of them was, you don't have lunch with anybody of the opposite sex, unless there's a whole crowd there. You just don't do it. And you know, this one time in the church, I had a very angry, non-believing man call me on my phone and say, there's somebody in your church that's eating lunch every day with my wife, and you need to stop it, stop him. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, is this my job? But anyway, I went to the guy and I sat down with him and I said, you know what? I got a call from the girl's husband that you're eating lunch with every day. What are you doing? And he says, well, she's codependent on me. And I'm going, you know, I said, what are you doing, man? This is nuts. You can't do this. Well, we're just codependent together. You know, if she didn't have me, she would go crazy. So anyway, after giving him a riot act up his front and down his back about that situation and really talking from the word, you know, he just left the church because he didn't want to give up this other guy's wife. And it's just so sad to see that, you know, because this guy's a supposed Christian and the other guy's a non-believer, just going, what is up with this? And so jealousy is the fury of a husband, and I think God has put a lot of it there to keep things in line and to be caring about his wife. You know, dear, I'd love to go to Vegas this weekend with the girls. See you next, you know, Monday. I don't think so. I don't think so. Come on, you know. Now, I know some people are more liberal in that kind of thinking than I am. Don't ever ask me about that. And let's take separate vacations this year, you know. Not. Hey, we're a family. We're going to go and take every minute we have together, you know. Now, I know some of you like to go on fishing trips and stuff with the guys and so forth, and you can do that on the mission trip to Mexico, okay? You're safe with Rick. Well, I don't trust you anywhere else if you're just going to go hang out somewhere in Mexico on a boat. And what do you do at night? You know, kind of thing. So watch it, man. Watch it. It's so good to think about these things before they come down. And, you know, the thing is the guards, the sentries that need to be put up for the marriage relationship. There's one that Pastor London said also. It says, you should let your wife interview your secretary before you hire her, you know. Yeah. So Sherry chose Marvin for me. He's been the greatest secretary ever. Let me tell you that right now. He helps me. He helps me. So this is good. That's one thing he said. Then I want to tell you something from John Corson on this subject that I think is really good. Is that men should counsel men and women should counsel women. Now, we find some exceptions sometimes in the church when, you know, like a woman that's known the family for 80 years or whatever and has been in the church teaching Bible studies and so forth and is like a lot older than the pastor, something like that, you know, not to be super rigid, but have discernment, you know, and so forth. And so Sherry and I generally counsel women together. If there's a young lady that comes up and says, Pastor Mark, I really want to counsel with you, I'll say, great, you know, Sherry and I can see you at these times. And so, you know, the doubt is over. It's just Sherry's going to come. And it's just safe. Now, the way John Corson put it was this way, that when you sit down with a person that has deep problems and they begin to share their heart with you and from the treasure of their heart, they're sharing and the things that God's shown them and stuff. And then the pastor becomes very empathetic, of course, and understanding and begins to share his heart. John Corson put it this way, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And so there's some danger there right away of being too connected, too involved, becoming codependent, as that one brother said, you know. And so to be careful about that in our Christian life, our Christian walk. So I just shared those few things that Pastor London shared and John Corson to give you an idea about these safeguards. Now, let's go on and read further. Chapter 7 is also on this subject, and I'm going to read quickly through chapter 7. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of your eye. Now, the apple of the eye is the pupil. That's the pleasure point of your eye. The Bible says that we, as Christians, are the apple of God's eye. So we are the pleasure point in God's eye. Isn't that precious? And so it says that we're to keep his law as the apple of our eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Now, we begin to understand why God chooses to use the word wisdom synonymous with a sister, or her, calls wisdom her a lot in the scriptures. And because of this next verse here, call understanding your nearest kinswoman, that they may keep you from the immoral woman. This is a contrast between the immoral woman and wisdom as being your sister, your kinswoman. Stay close to wisdom, the wisdom of God, the things that are being said here. Keeping your life straight, lest you be waylaid with the immoral woman. From the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black of the dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot, a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. Now this is something. These are religious things. She had peace offerings with her, to offer peace offerings to the Lord. And she wanted to pay her vows to the Lord from the Lord's law. Well, it's just a hypocritical life. And then she goes on to seduce this guy. And so, you see, it can even happen in Christian circles as the flesh gets in there. So on the guard, on the guard. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and he will not come until the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter. Heavy language. Very, very telling. As an ox goes to the slaughter. Or a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart, and there's the heart again, Samson's heart, and with Solomon. Solomon's heart was turned away from the things of the Lord because of his 1,000 wives. They caused him to begin to put idol worship things on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus actually went to the Garden of Gethsemane years later to die for all this. That Solomon built an altar to Chemosh, a false god, because of the influence of his foreign wives. And so this all goes south real quick when people are drawn into it. And the devil knows that, and he loves to get you with it. Things that happen. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, full of the correction of stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. as a bird hastens to a snare. He did not know it was for his life. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, Samson, Solomon, and others. And all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending into the chambers of death. Now just imagine me reading this as a teenager. I got so scared. I'm going, man, I better be good. And the Lord used these scriptures to help keep me. And I did make my mistakes, but I can say, and I thank God because it's Jesus Christ, I've never ever made love to anybody but Sherry. And I am so thankful to God. I think there's a pressure in the seductive society for those that are young here, for you to somehow not be a virgin very long. You know, it's just real uncool to be not a virgin. Don't listen to that garbage. Keep yourself. Keep yourself in the love of God. And read the scriptures often to reinforce this, because the whole world is saying the opposite. And to just go forward in the Lord. Wait on the Lord for a wife from God. And if he calls you to be celibate for his kingdom's sake, or some other reason, you keep yourself celibate. You just remain in that single life and stay away from this road that the devil wants you to put you on. Think about the consequences. Think about Samson and what happened to him. They put his eyes out. Sin blinds. They put chains on him. Sin binds. And they caused him to grind in the mill. It's a big stick attached to a giant rock, grinding meal, and he would go round and round. He was in the proverbial rut, an open-ended grave, a rut. And sin will do that. And running after Delilah is sin. And that's where the devil wants to bring you. So Bill Gothard, in his basic youth conflict seminar, always reminded us of that. Picture the consequences. When you have any leading away from the Lord in these things, picture the consequences in your mind and stay pure. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you so very much, Lord, for your instruction. It's great instruction. And Father, you just don't really want to skip any subjects in our lives. And Lord, this is a big one. It's large. And Father, we thank you for hormones, and we thank you that without the hormones there probably wouldn't be any babies. And so we want to have the population increase, Lord, in your way in the marriage relationship. So Lord, help us to handle them in the right way and to look to you, Jesus, and to accept your instruction as a wise, loving Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So band's going to come out and we'll have a couple songs. Yeah, you got to see this one. It begins with the book of Job. And then right in the middle of the movie, twice they sing, "Oh, happy day when Jesus was, yeah, when he washed my sins away." It's really good. Man, I almost jumped up out of my seat when they started doing that one. And at the end of the movie, they bring you back to the book of Job. It's wonderful. I believe that Ann Gonzalez threw her popcorn in the air. Is that right? Yeah. Prayer room's open for you today. You can just come on over to the prayer room if you need some prayer. So may the Lord bless you and God just keep you strong in Him. May you just be just blessed with every area of life with the wisdom of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.